thought about economic growth. The main comparison tool used to measure it is gross domestic product, or GDP. That's the monetary value of all the finished goods and services produced within a country's borders in a specific time period. But should we also be measuring not just output, but the well-being of people and the planet? That's an argument being put forward at the International Economics of Happiness Conference taking place this weekend in Bristol in the west of England. Slowly, some governments are taking this on board. Here in the UK, personal well-being is being assessed using a Thriving Places Index created by the charity Happy City. I spoke to its CEO, Liz Zeidler, who told me why we shouldn't just use GDP to measure a country's success.
Economic growth is a decent measure for whether or not we are consuming more this year than last year and more consuming more next year than this year. We said that that's somehow the goal of all of human activity in our world. And what we've been trying to say is that actually the end goal is the capacity for all of us to thrive. Economic growth might be one of the ingredients for delivering that, but it's not the end goal. And when we make it the end goal, suddenly we skew everything else. Health services are just about churning out people as quickly as we possibly can. Education just becomes about making productive little workers, etc.
We're in the centre of Bristol now. We're in a park. How important is it that cities retain spaces like this for the well-being of people living here? Because many are selling them off because simply they don't have enough money for essential services.
So when you start assessing decisions based on whether or not they support people to thrive, you make very different decisions. The value of green spaces suddenly becomes really important because they're good for human connection, which supports all sorts of elements of our well-being and can protect us from lots and lots of the different things that are causing society lots and lots of problems, including mental health, but also lack of social cohesion, addiction, and all those sorts of things, when we lose that connection with each other. But if we only see them as a lack of economic space, then of course we get rid of them. But that's a very short-term gain.
You talk about happy cities, but how do you measure happiness?
Are we creating the right local conditions for people to thrive? And are we doing that equitably and sustainably so future generations can survive just as well? And then we also measure people's actual individual well-being. How are they feeling and functioning in their lives? But also a sense of belonging in our communities and our organisation. Once we measure those things, we can prioritise, we can start putting investment and value on the things that promote those things.
Are governments listening to what you're saying?
Increasingly they are. Here in the UK, we're working with quite a lot of far-sighted local authorities who really want to start putting these very different measures of progress at the heart of their thinking processes, in the heart of their decisions and their plans and their investments. But it's not just about local government, it's about businesses and the communities in which they work.
What about shareholders, though? They're not necessarily going to want to see those profits dwindle, are they?
So there's two answers to that. One, shareholders a human being. So most shareholders I've ever had an actual conversation with do really, really care about the capacity for their children and their children's children to thrive and recognise that if we have societal breakdown, if we have climate catastrophe, it's going to be very difficult for that to happen. I think what we need to be doing is shifting the focus of business to be saying, what's the purpose of the business in the first place? Is to be providing produce and the services. And profit, of course, is a part of that, but it's not the end goal in itself.
What role should big business play in this going forward?
As employers, they need to start really taking this seriously because unhappy workers are not productive, good at problem solving, team members, loyal, all those sort of things. They need to be thinking more and more about their role in producing the kind of world we want.
Should there be regulation to enforce happiness then?
There are increasingly around the world governments who are bringing in legislation that says we have to take into account the well-being of current and future generations. Wales, in fact, here in the UK has been real pioneers in this. New Zealand have put it in right across their budgeting. Dubai now has a Minister of Happiness. They're starting to measure the well-being of their people in quite a fundamental way. More countries in South America are doing this, Australasia and Europe.
Liz Zeidler, CEO of Happy City, speaking to me in Bristol, which is hosting the International Economics of Happiness Conference this weekend. Thanks for listening to World Business Report with me, Susanna Streeter. You can keep in touch on Twitter at BBC World Biz or with me at BBC Streeter. From all of us here, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
You're listening to